Hey everyone, welcome back to the Gary V Audio Experience. Today's episode is a special meeting Gary had with the winter residents at Vayner this year. We want to remind you, if you haven't gotten your VCon ticket yet, the link to buy tickets is in the description of this podcast. We really hope you enjoy it.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Badass Bulldog, I want to know more. Is it a meme character? And then is Vayner Sports getting into U.S. soccer?
Vayner Sports has thought a lot about getting into representing female soccer players in the female soccer league. That's been a topic of conversation. So that's that. We have not talked as much about MLS. But we've talked about English Premier League and going global. So a lot of conversation on proper football at Vayner Sports. But I think if I had a guess, basketball is going to happen before that. So it could be 3, 4, 5 years. Badass Bulldog, you know, truth is I'm spending a lot of time right now in character development. You know, I've always, hot take, I've had it skewed towards meme and like fun stuff, but as the word badass now is like more mundane, like I feel I can do a Badass Bulldog toy for six year olds and it's not like a bad word. And so a lot to think through. Bulldogs are incredibly globally popular, and so I want to be very thoughtful with that character and its development. You know, Be Friends for me is my Pokemon, my Sesame Street, my Marvel, my Star Wars, and character development is probably the most precious part of all that, and so giving it a lot of thought.
And my question is, what is your walkout song? Just to kind of know who you are and if you've thought of that,
The only one that I've ever really used consistently for my keynotes has been First of the Month by Bone Thugs and Harmony. Mainly because it's a song I once listened to 853 times in a row, and it gets me pumped. It also is like a really kind of like rugged hustle song. It's like, so there's always just been a very like from the dirt kind of part of it. Plus, I've always loved that like 93% of the world has no idea what the fuck Bone Thugs and Harmony are saying in their songs. So it always felt like I was on an inside like club in actually knowing it. So I would go with First of the Month by Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Awesome, love that.
But yeah, man, you talk a lot about being the guy that you wish you had as a kid. And what would you say to yourself if you were a resident right now, like going through the program, just starting out at Vayner, from our end, obviously not.
Yeah, no, I get it.
The spot of
I have a real thought on this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I know it's what I would do. I know myself.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't recommend all of you becoming friends with all of you more.
Mm-hmm.
We're gonna teach you a fuckload. I'm gonna be who I am. But your relationships with each other going through this is everything.
Yeah.
All of you are gonna be so far ahead in the world of business and marketing because you're coming up Vayner at a time where Vayner's like Apple in 1986. Like, you're on it. You're at Facebook in 2010. You're like at Tesla at 12. Like, you know, those are much bigger companies than we will ever be, but we are disrupting and are historically correct about advertising. There are literally people on this call right now who in 21 years are gonna be the CMO of Coca-Cola. Literally. And so like, what would I tell myself or what would I be thinking? That I need to make sure that I get everyone's LinkedIn, Instagram, TikTok, email from this group and go out of my way to be friends with everybody on Slack and create common ground with them around upbringing, interests, like at all costs. At all costs. There's nothing more valuable that will happen at Vayner than you taking advantage of you guys and gals are part of this little micro crew, and that makes you connected in a different way. And that all of you are coming into a company that is gonna accelerate your opportunities, whether within it. There are literally people in here that are gonna be the bosses of people in here. And by being friends, it's gonna be just a much more enjoyable life in 3 years. There's also people here in 19 years who again are gonna be CMOs of the biggest companies in the world that may help your child get an internship at that company. Like, this is it.
What is your greatest advice for us outside of our careers?
To fight for happiness. People do not fight for happiness enough. People have decided to lean into cynicism, into blame, into envy, into jealousy. people have really, like the world has done a really good number on the world. Mainstream media, social media, pessimism. Like people are selling all of you a bunch of bullshit. The world has never been better. The world has never been better. Period. This is the greatest era to ever be alive. I would switch with all of you in 10 seconds. And unfortunately, that's not what people think. So my advice to you is to fight for happiness. Try to understand why I'm telling you that. Go look at facts instead of headlines that are built to scare you.
As a Gen Zer, we kind of grew up with the social media boom.
Yep.
And we kind of understand the consumer up mentality and the social media first mentality.
Yes.
So my question is how did you come up with that before, or like understand that disruption before any of us understood it?
So one of the advantages of being older is timing. So when MySpace and even before that Friendster came, when I was, MySpace was very clear to me in 2005. How old were you in 2005?
Six.
Beautiful. So when you were in kindergarten, trying to desperately like figure out what the world is, I was sitting in a liquor store desperately trying to figure out like, why is the internet changing and what is this? And this feels different. This is different. This is not the last 10 years. This has something to it. And like, look how cool, like, oh wait, Rick Ross and Dane Cook, the comedian, and Tila Tequila, the model, like they're winning on this thing. There's something happening. And so I took very big note, and then very quickly, YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook came out, and I was like, okay, something's fucking up. And then right then and there, right behind that, the iPhone came out. And I was like, okay, this is a series of things that make sense to me. And the radio used to be the most important thing, and then the television was invented. And the television only used to have 3 channels, and then it had 13, and then it had 36, and then it had DirecTV. This makes sense to me. And so I followed my intuition, but, and this is important for all of you with AI, VR, NFTs, not only did I have intuition, I immersed myself in it. So I was 31, 30, when I made my first video. And I made a video tasting wine because it's what I knew. And so I just put myself out there and made sure I tasted it and was a practitioner. You can only learn by doing. You can't talk about it in theory. And so, you know, I think I have good consumer intuition and I have good willingness to become a practitioner. And so it was obvious to me because I was in it, you know?
Yep, that totally makes sense.
And so like all of you can read the emails going back and forth at the company about AI and ChatGPT and Jasper and Midjourney, or you could go and use it.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My question for you was, what does success look like for someone in a junior position at Vayner?
Well, I think success is very different in money for all of you, right? Like some of you were built in a very alpha home where like, and very good at school and type A, and you'll deem success as getting promoted, right? Getting the full gig and then getting promoted. Like, and I understand that. For other people, success has some sort of financial number in their mind, right? Some people here have like a specific number in mind. If I get to 100,000, if I get to 500,000, if I get to 1,000,000, that's fine. You know, for me, success is actually truly waking up on a Monday morning and smiling with no anxiety in your chest. And whether you make $40,000 or $4 billion and anything in between, boy oh boy, if more people woke up on Monday morning smiling cheek to cheek with lack of anxiety in their chest, the world would be epic. And that is the framework that I'm trying to create. That's what this is. That's why all of you reacted the way you did when Claude came on here. You know, like we're putting a lot of effort into that. And so we won't get it perfect, but we're trying our hardest. And so success for me is whatever you want success to be. You know what I mean? And I'm, there's some of you sitting here right now that want my job. And very honestly, I'd like one of you to be the global CEO of this whole holding company, because I'm getting old. I need one of you to rise up and take this throne. And so that's great. And then there's other people who've realized and can look around the company and say, whoa, that person looks happy. And whoa, they work 9 to 5, 5 days a week and have time for their kids and everything. Like, I want that. And that's beautiful. And so like, or some of you are coming here to like get as much knowledge as possible, and then you're gonna jump and start your own VaynerMedia, and that makes me happy for you too. Like, I want success to be your success, but I want your success to be your success. Not what I deem success, not what your mama deems success, not whatever's cool on TikTok deems success. Like, figure out what the fuck your success is and be ready for it to change. What you give a fuck about at 22 changes at 27 and 31 and 39 and 52. So you may have a success in your mind right now, and then you might scratch that itch and you might realize, I don't like it that much. You know, and don't be disappointed by that, because a lot of people get depressed when they reach something they, no, be invigorated by that and realize you're on to your next success.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So my question is, you know, obviously everything the Vayner kind of like family of companies encompasses, you know, like the social landscape, the media landscape, the ads landscape, they're all constantly fluctuating, constantly changing. So, you know, it can kind of be a lot sometimes to like take it all in at once.
Yep.
So my question is, how do you prevent yourself from, you know, like getting burnt out from it all? What do you do to kind of like keep the pace with all this stuff?
I love myself. Let me explain. I don't judge myself when I don't feel like I've got it all grasped. You're absolutely right. The shit's moving super fast. It's okay to not be great at knowing how Snapchat works. It's all right if you've never downloaded Pinterest. It's cool if you have no fucking clue what the fuck's going on LinkedIn. You just keep trying every day. I think the biggest reason I don't get burnt out is because I don't beat myself up. By far, one of the biggest issues that so many people have, young, old, left, right, black, white, is people beat themselves up. And by the way, do not get it twisted. I'm not talking about not holding yourself up to a standard, but it's just a little patience. Mm-hmm. Back to the earlier question, I've been doing this every day for 17 years. I'm good at it now. Some of you have never thought about these platforms in this context prior to when you started here. You were using it to hook up. You know, so like, you know, I just have empathy for yourself.
Right.
That's how you try. And you realize, like, and I think you sense it here, like, we have ambition, we're building a honey empire, but like, we're gonna give you a lot of time. As long as you're trying, you know?
Mm-hmm. What advice do you have for someone who's about to turn 30, who has two young kids and are trying to like exponentially grow their professional career in this space?
By realizing that patience is your only ally when it seems like it's your biggest foe.
Gotcha.
Right? Like, the problem when you're trying to do something fast because of circumstances, right? Imagine, right? You're part of this residency class. 90% of your contemporaries are kids right out of school. That's a framework where immediately you're like, fuck, I'm so behind. All the whatever's going through your mind. The problem is when you're trying to speed it up, like, you trip.
Yeah.
The faster you run, the more likely you're gonna trip. And so, It's about the discipline of understanding. First of all, I'm so pumped you're in this program. I've had 2 or 3 people that I've spoken to in the last 6 months who had similar situations where they were, quote unquote, a different age from the majority of people in the residency class who 18 months later really were like, oh, wait a minute, I didn't have to rush. This was exactly right. You know, patience is your ally in this, brother. Like, the merit of your work is gonna be the variable of your success, not how fast you politic it.
Awesome, thank you.
You got it, brother.
How did you get to a point where you can trust your creators to just say, hey, look, make what you want? Because I've worked for teams and other media companies where I had no creative freedom. I just do it and shut up and just do it. And what I can appreciate is that I can just kind of give my passion in what is sports.
I wanted to build a good company. I'd rather have grown slower on something that I knew would bring value to my employees than grow faster with something that sucks shit. really hard to get people to wake up on Monday morning smiling and having no anxiety on their chest if everyone's just making shit with no say that's fucking soulless and not fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. Thank you. Appreciate it.
You're welcome, brother.
My question for you is, going back to Taylor, is that how do you wake up early in the morning on a Monday and just stay hungry, you know? I'm 27 and I'm trying to keep myself going every day, and I kind of struggle sometimes. So what is your take on that?
What do you struggle with, brother?
I think just being motivated to get to my end goal, you know? I get
What's your end goal?
Out. Honestly, six figures, have a big house. I'm being a little materialistic, but...
Well, that's why you're struggling. Yeah, I mean, I would have bet the... I mean, you couldn't have walked into that more than if I paid you to say what you just said. You're literally the hypothesis I have of why people are unhappy. You just made up an arbitrary goal for yourself based on material things without realizing the second you walk into that home and you make six figures, nothing's changed.
Damn, that was... Hey, I mean, it's. I would rather, you know, have someone be honest with me, you know. So
I'm even better, brother. I'm telling you from the deepest levels of love that you can even imagine. I know you. I've met 1,000 of you. All of them have lost the second they got there. You've been able to turn your perspective to something that's very easy to turn your perspective to. The world is very good at selling this. It's just super not true, bro.
I appreciate it, thank you. And kind of going, adding to that, like, what should we do, you know, or like...
Yeah, I mean, I think the alternative to that is focusing on doing things you like.
I wanted to say, from the lemonade stand to the winery to now successful entrepreneurships, well, serial successful entrepreneurships, what do you think is like the singular thread that you pulled through from the beginning that you still have now? That makes you successful.
That I reverse engineer the person I'm trying to sell something to. And I come from it from a place of good intent. Like, I really tried to make good lemonade for 10 cents. Like, when people came to my dad's liquor store and they wanted Santa Margarita Pinot Grigio, which used to sell for $12.99, and once I knew my shit and knew there was a better Pinot Grigio named Chris, K-R-I-S, Pinot Grigio for $7.99, I fought like hell to get them to try it because I knew they'd get a better bottle of wine for $5 less. Vayner is a success because we're trying to get people to stop wasting money on dumb marketing and spend it on good marketing. When you have the customer's intention in mind, everything you want selfishly will be there in the end.
So I'm 25 and I've had a little bit of work experience and a career research, and then I tried to switch to strategic consulting, then I switched to supply chain and then pharma, and now I'm here thinking that this is what I need. And I think a lot of big reason behind that is because it took me like 4 or 5 years to accept that I am someone who likes to put themselves in a completely random situation every 2 years. And that's what appealed to me about VaynerX. So my question to you is, like, as someone who's just starting out, how do I moderate the line between specializing in something right now within VaynerMedia and maybe going for those opportunities later to explore analytics brackets within the other companies within VaynerX? Would I get that opportunity to kind of explore that little bit turbulent side in me?
I love that question. Look, it's very hard to answer that question because there's so much serendipity that goes into that. But the fact that you can speak to this question the way you just did, as long as you're over communicating with Pet and all your kind of like champions that you interact with, the Kalins, whoever you work with on these projects, I think you'll find yourself in a very good place. What I'm most proud of, like, we're not bound to what I think most agencies and companies are. We're not rigid, we're not type A. And so this is all about communication, and sometimes you should stay and sometimes you shouldn't, but not me, not you, only God knows if that would have worked out. I think what you can't be is crippled by the decisions you make. don't think that you're being brash or things of that nature or too fast. You're just following what feels right in your stomach. And maybe you'll do a couple things at VaynerX, and then the third thing, you're like, wait a minute, this is it. And you might do that for 5 years, and then 5 years in one day, you're like, this is not it anymore, and that's fine too. So I would just continue to communicate, take feedback, balance that from people who might say you're moving too quick, stay another year, try this for another 6 months, make decisions, live in, on those decisions, and just keep navigating.
Great, thank you. I feel like from past experiences, I feel like there's slight negative connotation to this. Like, I've been badgered by interviewers, like, why do you switch all the time?
Tell them the truth.
Yeah.
Tell them you're curious. Tell them you're trying to find something that will fulfill you. I promise you, you don't want to work anywhere that views that as a negative anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, thank you so much.
I have a funny feeling that wasn't a big issue at Vayner.
Yeah, definitely. That's what makes me want to ask you this question. And it's a really difficult question to ask to anyone else, to be honest. So
yeah, I mean, I think it's a very normal track for the curious and haven't found that home yet.
I noticed, you know, you have so much on your plate as far as like all the hats you wear with every company that you started or are a part of currently. What keeps you passionate to keep going when you have so much going on? Only asking because I don't have as much as you, but I have like organizations I'm president of, and I sometimes feel myself kind of like not being passionate to give my all to every role that I'm in. So I just wanted to know like what keeps you passionate in every role.
Accountability sometimes to do things that, you know, I think one of the things that the world is struggling with is being able to deal with inconvenience. I think it's a real issue. I think it's a real opportunity. We've been programmed, parented, we've been fortunate in a lot of ways in the macro. Obviously, many of us can grow up with difficult situations, but we've demonized the capacity to be inconvenienced. And when I make a commitment, even though I hate going to that meeting or I don't want to do it, I've learned how to tolerate short-term or mid-term inconvenience. That's number one. Number two, I'm also very comfortable, similar to the last question, of changing my mind. It's okay to unwind a commitment. As long as you do it graciously, you could walk into the next meeting and say, hey, I need to resign at the end of this year from this committee. I just want to give everyone 9 months. Now you've created a light at the end of the tunnel, which almost weirdly makes you even better those 9 months. You know what I mean? You know, I'd rather you be great on my board for 9 months or committee than be below average for 3 years. So I think it's a balance of willing to deal with inconvenience and also willing to graciously change your mind. Both of those things keep me passionate. I know there's an out if I do it graciously and appropriately. And I know that sometimes I have to sleep in the bed that I made.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
My question for you is, you know, obviously being in this program just for like, what, like a little over a month so far, I've just been able to see that like, obviously there's a lot of like love and care directed towards us and directed towards teaching us and kind of guiding us along our way. And so my question for you is just like, frankly, like why do you care so much about like us and like younger people, and why do you guys see us as such an investment going forward?
I think it's the right thing to do. You know, I think when you are blessed, there's a sense of responsibility. And I think, you know, so many of my business big boy, big girl friends laugh at the concept of how much we put in and up front on this and how vulnerable we are for people leaving and da-da-da-da-da-da. I just don't see it that way. I know, you know, I think we have the best culture in the world, so I think a lot of people will stay, so that's good for the business. But even if people didn't stay, we can afford to do it. It's a nice thing to do. It leaves a positive impact on the business world. I want more people to be affected by the way we see business. And I feel great that we get to show you how it should be. You don't have a clue. When I tell you the greatest thing of this whole program for all of you is knowing this exists. You know how many people work for 25 years and have no idea that you can do it right? you know how many of your parents and friends and relatives and friends at school and cousins think you're completely full of shit when you talk about this company and that you're just drinking from some weird Kool-Aid that I made up? You know, it's just the right fucking thing to do, bro. You know?
It's awesome. I love that. Yeah. Believe me, I appreciate it.
And it goes back to the thing I said earlier, Luke, which is like when you do the right thing by the other side, all the things that you want will happen. I call it 51-49. If I give all of you 51% of the value, then 49 will be just fine by me. And I think too many companies try to get somewhere between 80 and 100% of the value. And once you figure out the model for 49, you're good, you know?
Yeah, that's great. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Anyway, I love you all. Hope this was fruitful. Hope it helped. Always
thank
available.
You, yeah. Thanks, everyone.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Cheers, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Love you.
Thank you.
That was fucking tight.
That was fucking sick.
That was amazing.
Best meeting ever.
No, for real.
I feel rejuvenated.
I feel reassured. It's good.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, bye guys, that's all.
You know what my favorite thing to do is make pretend I leave to listen to what actually is being said, and I can tell you right now that felt fucking amazing.
I literally did not log off because I was like, let me wait and see if you'll say it.
I love you guys. Love you guys. Have a great day. Cheers. Bye everyone. Love you.
Hey everyone, if you loved that meeting, we're adding last year's Autumn Residence Fireside Chat to the end of this podcast. So keep listening for more value.
All right, Austin, first up.
Thank you. Hey, Gary. So simply put, you're seeing a lot of platforms kind of try to do cross-functionality. Like you're seeing TikTok implement a Be Real sort of functionality and the photo functionality. And you're seeing Instagram now compete with Be Real and do more video-centric stuff. Do you think it's going to end up being everyone doing everything, or do you think it's going to resettle to everyone kind of just sitting in their comfort zone and what they are best at?
Well, Meta's been doing this long before, you know, with Facebook and Instagram, and now you have TikTok doing it because they're such a big player. I think everybody will try everything if there's a standalone app that they think is a feature, but some will stick and some won't. For example, let's go back to way back when this really started. Snapchat stories, right? Snapchat comes out, stories works. Then you have Instagram. That was like that big moment. A lot of you probably remember this. Instagram adds it. It stuck. But so did Twitter and Facebook and other things. And some platforms, it didn't stick. What about Clubhouse? When Clubhouse got hot, I made a video that said, everyone's going to try to make this a feature. Everybody did. Facebook included, Instagram, all of them. It was Twitter Spaces that stuck, right? So I think with Be Real or anything we see for the next half decade, all the leaders will try to implement it. And some will have it stick because it worked for them and they did a good job, and some won't. And that will be the constant flow that we see.
All right. Thank you so much.
Of course, brother.
Hey Gary, so I just started on my first new business pitch, which is really exciting. And I was wondering what your biggest piece of advice was for entering this kind of new fast-paced assignment, mindset or like tactical things, whatever.
The concept of if I'm playing a new business, what should I be thinking about? Is that where you're going? I just want to make sure.
Yeah.
You know, I think the thing to look out for is what are clients reacting well to? That's always a good thing to learn. You know, like why did that client think that that was cool? Or why did they ask us to double click into that? I think that this, you know, a lot of what we're trying to do in general and definitely in new business is osmosis. You know, I think the other thing to think about is what to parrot, you know, from the Kalins and others. So I think it's a huge learning experience, but by far the most interesting thing I'd be looking for is what are people reacting best to and why?
Cool. Thank you.
Of course.
Hey, Gary, how are you? It's nice to finally meet you. I hope you're having a great day. My question is, what advice would you give to someone who's eager to try out many different roles, and how should one go about finding their place at Vayner?
You know, I think Vayner is a very unique organization where we're willing to let people transfer from media to account to strategy to project management. So, you know, figuring out what you're about is raising your hand and asking to try something new. And you're at the right company for that. And whether that works out here or somewhere else, it's a constant game of raising your hand and patiently and humbly asking to try something else. Because you don't really know what you love or you're great at until you try it. Like, there's a lot of people who love riding bikes who are actually meant to be better skateboarders, but they never tried skateboarding, which is just too bad. And so, you know, I think staying curious, asking questions of the people that are in those departments. Vayner's best strength is that we have a culture where people will feel weird if they don't like reply to questions or like are not nice to each other. So take advantage of that while you're here. Use Slack, right? Use it and ask people, you know, hey, I'm in media, but I'm curious about project management. Why do you like it? What do you have to be good at? So staying curious and staying on the offense and knowing that you're in a company that rewards it.
Yeah, thank you. Because sometimes I feel like I want to do like too many different things and I feel like it's like too much going on. So thank you
stay with me here for a second. The thing is, it's good to try to do a lot of things or be curious, but curiosity is a strength. Curiosity is a strength. You know, the only thing you have to do is be empathetic to the organizations you work in. So like if you're at Vayner, what are you a resident for right now?
I'm a creator resident, but I've been like shadowing like PMs and like trying to look maybe for at PCS and like community management, just like all around.
As long as you're fair in return to Vayner, if they want you to be a creator for a year before you even try those other things, I think where curious youngsters get caught is audacity. You know, there's that level of entitlement, and it's not a Gen Z thing. I hate when everyone's like Gen Z. I saw this in fucking Generation X when I was 22. Like people are entitled consistently, you know? And so, you know, as long as you're empathetic that Vayner would like to give you that at bat in project management, but it's not ready just yet. And whether that's Vayner or you decide to go somewhere else, for all of you, as long as you're empathetic to the organization, if they're really trying, well then, and you're willing to be patient, then you're in a good spot. I will say that where younger generations got caught is the world's faster now because of technology. And so patience is definitely something people struggle with, you know, and because of the way the world is, insecurity has always been poison, but now people literally are living their lives so publicly that if they're insecure and they want success so that they can flex, it eliminates patience. I mean, you'd be stunned if you saw some of the emails I get from employees who left here for a $5,000 raise when we weren't willing to do it because they just wanted to buy some dumb shit. And now we're like, what the fuck did I do? You know? And so you guys are all, and gals are so young. It's about being thoughtful, but do not downplay. You're not chaotic. You're not too, you know, crazy about that. That's good. You're trying to figure out your shit. I think it's a strength, but you just have to be, you know, unless you're an entrepreneur and you control your way, you have to know that there's, you know, we're the most pro-employee org on earth. And even for us, it's hard for you to be like, hey, I want to be PCS because that spot might not exist at this exact second.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you. The first time we met, you mentioned that we are the future of the company. And I'm in this residency program, I've been having that as a mindset. going into the next 5 years, what is the best mindset that, and the learning path that I can take to become the future of this company? And I'm not saying become where you are. I'm just saying like to grow in this company and to be a big part of it.
It's a great question. I think a couple of things. One is self-awareness. You know, let me give you an example of what I mean by that. There are plenty of times, and I'm as happy as it gets professionally, and there are still plenty of times that I say, huh, I wonder how cool it would have been to have the DNA that would have made me pump. Like, I'm envious of a lot of my senior employees. I'm like, you know, like yesterday, like being sick, it was not only bad to have 103 fever, it was even worse knowing that I was missing things that were really important. And like, I can't like rely on anybody else to do that role. So I think first of all, self-awareness, when you have ambition, you know, even you asking that question, my fear is that you push yourself into places on an ideology versus the reality of who you actually are. So I think the best way people can be the future of this company is, one, they have a good sense of themselves. Two, they have a good sense of what they want in life, financially, creatively, work-life balance. Three, this is a big one. I want everybody to pay attention to this one. Three, that they have the capacity to change their mind 5 years from now. So some of you right now might be like, I actually do want Gary's job. I want to be the global CEO of VaynerX in 20 years. And I think that's fucking rad. On the flip side, you may fall deeply, deeply in love in 7 years and then start a family and be like, fuck that. You know, I want to be like my mom or dad, or I want to be the reverse of my mom and dad. And I want to be at every recital and every ball game. And that's not going to let you be the global CEO of VaynerX. That's just real talk. So I think that if you have a good sense of who you are, if you're comfortable in who you are, and if you're willing to change your mind of what you want, that's a huge starting point. The next things are, one, let there be no confusion. Unless you are a very nice person and nice to others, you can only grow so much here. There's nobody that gets to the upper levels. So if you're in a place where you're still insecure, like if you have big ambitions here and you know you're testy because you yourself are slightly unhappy, I start thinking about things like meditation. I start thinking about things like therapy, because there's been so many people that had the talents to get to the highest levels here, but lost along the way because they didn't have the human capacity to be the person I need them to be with each other. They're political. They worry about their money. They try to tear down other people who they think are trying to take their spot. So all that stuff. And then finally, and I'm going to pound the living shit out of this, without the S in SOC, you can only get so far. Strategic organic content, and something you'll be hearing a lot about soon called PAC, platforms and culture. The future of communication over the next 10 years, which is going to impact all of you, is whoever is the most significantly talented in understanding how the platforms work and understand the cultural nuances of hundreds of different consumer segmentations. Not culture as in the cool slang term for urban hip hop culture. I mean, do you know what 40 to 47 year old middle America hunter and fisherman type dudes care about and how to get them to buy chocolate milk? Right? So it's all cultures. It's all ages, genders, races, interests, financial levels. And one thing I worry about in this company, I talked to the team, you know, as most of you saw the video with Brittany King, and we just have a very strong, strong passion around DE&I and different things of that nature. One of the things I see from so many of my well-intended senior executives is they think the strategists and creatives that will be best for the consumer cohorts are the people that look like the consumer cohorts, and that's not true, right? Like, I don't think, like, you know, a 40-year-old woman is the only person that knows how to sell 40-year-old woman stuff. I don't think you have Hispanic to understand how to sell stuff to Hispanics. And so I see a lot of well-intended subconscious thinking that I'm excited to change over time, because I fit only one demo, you know, with my age and gender, but my whole career is built on my empathy and compassion and intuition around all people. And so it's also why I think a lot of you are probably aware that in your circles of friends, family, acquaintances, my brand hits for a lot of people, all that looks super different. And it's because, you know, the messaging is contextual, even though it's still grounded in the same truth of love over hate.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. And yeah, that's why I hopped on Dash and Divas to throw a couple of TikToks in there for them, because it's something that I found funny. But I appreciate that, Gary. Thank you.
Keep it going.
Appreciate you, Sarah. Appreciate you, Gary. How you doing, G?
I'm good, my man.
Oh, man, so good to see you. I don't know if you remember NF Tampons. That's me. But yep. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks for having us. My question to you is, I mean, I'm on consulting. I'm a creator. I'm in consulting. Yep. So I've been introduced to PAC in some capacity.
Yep.
And my question is, how do we push clients more towards just diving themselves deeper into culture and not being so, not to say like, let's not focus on what's trending, but like be more ahead of that curve of where culture is going as a brand?
I think for us, all of you don't have this context, but the strides we've made in the last 36 months are so profound. For us, there's going to be no option if you work with us. So it's going to be easy. It's going to be a byproduct of how we sell, how we talk, because of what you are doing. And look, you know, you've had a real front row seat. Like, consulting was a really good spot this time around. You know, like, it's how life works. So you're getting to see a lot of the stuff, and you can see what's happening. You know, with Jimmy John's this or St. Jude that, like, we're right about this. You're either relevant or you're not. You know, and so I think for us, to answer your question, we're going to get them to do it because they're going to have no damn choice. You know, like, it's what they're paying us to do. So I think we're going to continue to go more and more there.
Makes sense. Makes sense. Yeah. Appreciate you.
I'm really glad you're here.
Hey, Gary, how you doing?
Well, my man.
All right. So what I want to touch upon is, obviously, everyone talks about the culture. And now that we've been here for a while, I've experienced that firsthand. And it's kind of hard to describe, like, how effective it is. And, you know, I understand why that makes us different than other agencies. But my question about culture is, how did you get to this point with your mindset regarding culture? Like, where does that come from? Is that something that you were raised with? Is there a moment that made you realize that?
It was something I was born with. And I know that because it was funny. I had my friends that I grew up with when I was from first grade to seventh grade in Edison, New Jersey on a podcast the other day. We didn't get to some of these things on the podcast, but it got my brain remembering. They were talking about, this is really funny, actually. They were talking about the fact that I used to get into fights a lot. So I was like a real, like, scrapper New Jersey kid. Like I'm talking like fights.
Yeah.
And it reminded me that a lot of my fights came from me defending when people picked on people. So I was on like some superhero shit from the get kind of thing, meaning I've always been uncomfortable with people being mean to people. It's what really fucks me up with society right now, because both sides of the political party are fully into that place now. And so the answer to your question is, this is some real shit. I am so uncomfortable when there is tension. I can't even live within it. It's a visceral reaction to me. You know, even if, like, you know this, Dustin, even when me and Dustin are traveling, right? if I don't like the way his face looks, I'm like, are you good? Like, it's my natural state. Everything cool? Like, I don't like it. And because I have so much intuitive, like, spiritual energy that comes natural to me, I always know. I mean, there's some shit, like some of the stories of employees, you know how some of the 8 and 9 and 10 year employees come and tell you shit, like he knows or this, it's cause it's some spooky shit, Isaiah. It's like, I'll be going to the bathroom and I'm like, I don't like the way that felt. And then I'm like, admins, can you get me 15 with that person? Like, so there was no choice then. So cool, I gave you that frame up. Now it gets even weirder. Then I go into working for my dad at 14. So this is my natural state. This is my essence. And then I go into work in my dad's liquor store and it's a toxic disaster. Mm. My dad, who I struggled with for the first 7 or 8 years on this, and maybe even 10 years on this, and maybe even 20 years on this, until I realized that my dad grew up in the Soviet Union where every employee stole everything and it was so toxic that it formed him. My dad's point of view was that employees were your enemy. My dad's greatest fear 24/7, 365 in my teenage years was the employees are stealing.
Right. And I just want to say that, like, congratulating you on the fact that you've established a culture here that genuinely feels like a family only 2 months in with my team, and idea generation and teamwork and everything that goes into the ad business. It's never felt so like pure and genuine, and it comes so easy. So I think you've done a great job at, you know, responding to that.
I appreciate that. And I'll say this for the people on here. And if you don't have it, if that's a 10 and you're sitting right now and you're not in the chat and you're thinking that's not what I have, and that's something I realize is real. We have 1,800 employees. And I'm a human being. I understand how shit works. I'll give you an example. There was something that happened years ago that really stuck with me. Somebody who was an 11 on culture, an 11. Out of nowhere, like little smoke started popping up. XYZ made me upset today. XYZ, da-da-da. And when I got to the bottom of it, her father was dying from brain cancer. And she brought that to work. And like, of course, when you're scared, you know this, all of you know this about yourself. When you're most scared, it's only one of two things that are going to happen. And so I don't sit here in an ivory tower delusional that everybody's hitting that an 11 of a 10. But I do sit here in my ivory tower knowing that I spend an ungodly amount of energy, time, and effort, you know, and tons of money compared to companies that look like this, on trying to get every situation to 11 of 10. And that's why we win. Because there's never an interest for us to look the other way, because we don't value the money, we value the culture. We need the money to pay the bills. Honey Empire, right? I got to be practical. This is not delusional school, but I'm feeling really confident. And I will tell you, every month that goes by, we've got it better and better and better. And that's really, especially the last 3 years, and that's really exciting to me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just to build on that, Gary, I think that was a nice reminder for me in the all hands the other day, when I think one of the questions was, how are we going to win? And I thought you were going to go right to SOC. You're like, people first. Like, oh shit, that's right. That's what we start with. So it's a good reminder for me too, personally, as well.
Yeah, to your point, the reason it's people is if you have continuity, you win. I talk in like sign language and like ESP with like Marcus and Hannah and you and like, and Kaylin, and like, we go fast. Speed matters. You know, like when you trust your fellow employee, you're actually working on the work instead of the politics. So many of you have friends right now that you guys over a beer when you hang out, like they're just talking, all the energy's on the toxic fucking politics. Right? All of it. So yeah, I mean, I know why we're going to win, and it's because of how I think about this.
Hi, thank you, Sarah, and hi, Gary. Oh, just a little tip, Gary, in case you are feeling not so great still, ginger, turmeric, and some oregano, it'll clear you up for sure.
My grandma, Esther, who's no longer with us, and my girlfriend, Mona, both agree with you very, very feverishly.
Yes, very much. We come from a long line of herbal women. but basically, my question is actually kind of building on what we were just speaking on. We know that we're moving into the recession and like unprecedented time. So just as a creator, I wanted to know like what I could provide, do, or communicate to my audience members, you know, but you know, that is valuable to them during all these craziness and times, because I have a very, very strong moral compass, but still being beneficial to the client as well. So like, I hate selling out, you know, I come from the hood, Harlem. So I'm just like, I don't want to sell out, but I also, like you said, we have bills to pay. So what's a way to be valuable to them?
You know, it's a great question. First of all, one of the things, you know, to be honest, even though yesterday was a tough, like, I can't believe I got sick for the first time ever day, it gave me a few minutes to kind of like, especially once my fever broke, to look at the election. And it was interesting what went through my mind. I'm like, man, it wasn't even like a political stance. It was my brain was in operations of Vayner mode. I was like, wow, this very big day for the Democrats is just going to make my day to day a lot easier, because people's tensions are not going to be as high, because, you know, not to talk too much politics, but obviously we have a young company and that lends itself to a certain direction. You know, the biggest thing is, 4 years ago, I told a lot of our employees, we expect our clients to be our activists for us.
Right.
Like, right. And so similarly to that, with your question, you can share your truth on what will be relevant, but you have to be empathetic that these people have jobs.
Right.
And they may have to make it 20 to 30% more vanilla than you would want it to be. I actually think it's one of the biggest reasons we win. I, because I have no boss, am able to go 100.
Absolutely.
And so most of our clients on a good day can only go 70, and we have to be empathetic to that.
Understood, for sure. Thank you, Gary.
Of course.
Hey, everyone. Hey, Gary. Hey, Sarah. You guys, Sarah is a superhero. Like, flowers to you, Sarah. But my question, Gary, you've been talking a lot about like how the last 36 months have been like really crucial. I just wanted to ask you, what is probably like the most memorable or like the most important life experience you've had like in the last like recent years that have made you like really develop and grow as a person, with just like business wise, personally wise, in relation to anything?
Candor has forever been a weakness of mine and has always been the weakness of this organization. You know, I just don't like confrontation. You know, your gift is your curse. The reason we have this great culture is because I hate negativity and confrontation. The reason it took us a little while to get it really good is I love it so much that I mistreated it. And where candor really mattered, I was unable to deliver it. Thus, that trickled down to the organization. And so the biggest vulnerability this company had for years was the most senior people over time realized that they didn't actually know where they sat with me. And so what that did was, it was a very devastating day. No question, the most difficult day of my career happened about 4 years ago, when I realized, so my number one thing is that my job is to eliminate fear as a leader. When I had to realize, looking myself in the mirror, that me not being candorous led to a lot of people not knowing where they stood, which actually created fear, was heartbreaking. And, you know, I feel like now we're much better for it. And so I would say that is the answer.
Thank you, Sarah. Hey, Gary.
How are you?
Good, how are you, man?
Very good.
I guess my question is kind of related to the future of the internet. Like, you might have seen, like, people are saying we're in a crypto winter right now. And yes, I wanted to know, like, what's your perspective on why you think there's a divide between people who are pro metaverse and why like big tech companies like Snap and Apple and stuff are still like naysayers or who don't believe fully, who don't give into the concept of the metaverse, and what's really causing this divide according to you? And
financial interest.
Okay.
Microsoft wasn't into the internet. Financial interest. And timing. You know, the metaverse, if we're talking metaverse, it, you know, because you know this, the metaverse can mean a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're using the metaverse as slang for Web3, that's one thing, aka blockchains that have consumer applications like NFTs. If you're using the metaverse like VR, I believe that VR will happen one day, but I also think Facebook could overinvest in it because it might be too early. You know, like I don't like investing in things all the way until it's a little more obvious that it's real. Nobody here knows anybody who spends 2 hours a day on VR. So I think that, you know, but I think to answer your question, it's all financial interest. And by the way, this is one day you'll realize what's cool about being 45 or 46 or 47, like I'm going to be in 4 days, is it's pattern recognition. Varun, let me give you an example. You know how people say, like, why does that need to be an NFT? Can't you do it this way? Let me give you one that's going to blow all your minds. When I launched winelibrary.com in 1997, which in itself is wild, because there are many people here who were born after 1997. So when I launched winelibrary.com in 1997, do you know what people said to me? They said, Gary, why do you need a website? You could just do a catalog. Think about that. Like for real, like real business people, real grownups. Like, why would you build a website? You could just do a catalog. You know, why do I think tickets are going to be NFTs? Because they're better than QR codes. And why did all our tickets become QR codes? What was wrong with paper? So this is just pattern recognition for me.
All right, thank you.
Hey, Gary, how's it going? Thank you for taking the time to meet us. My name's on the media side of PNG Grooming. So my question for you is, what would you say to be the turning point in your life that kind of shifted to who you are today? And what could we take like from that? Like if there's any advice that you can give to us from something that's happened to you in your life that made you to who you are today?
I don't think there's something super clear, brother. I think what the real answer to this question is, something happened to me between 9 and 14 that isn't very clear to me still, that flipped me to a level of self-awareness and confidence that guided me my whole life. Like one thing that is very bonkers to me is how completely non-penetratable I was to peer pressure in high school. I still don't fully even understand it, to be honest. Like when I recall the things I didn't do in the face of why it would seemingly be so easy and so obvious that you should do that if you're a kid, good parenting, good DNA, circumstances. I do think there are some big advantages of growing up in the dirt, you know. But what I would tell you to give you an answer that maybe brings value is, how quickly can you fall fully in love with yourself? Like that you're so in love with yourself that you don't need validation from anybody else. While you balance that love of yourself with extraordinary levels of humility to offset the vulnerability of loving yourself.
Awesome. Thank you.
Got it.
Gary, how you doing?
I'm well, brother. How are you?
Good. I'm going to throw you probably the most important question off speed here. Jets, great season so far.
Yes.
At what point do you think this becomes for you a disappointment season where like you had these expectations now, what point do you think like it's like, damn, like that sucked?
Not going to happen. I'm too locked in. And this is, it has happened in the past many times. This season is such a blessing because it's a year ahead of schedule. A lot of things have gone wrong from an injury front, but it's, you know, I'm too educated in knowing what's happened here, which is we've hit too much pay dirt in the draft and we've managed our salary cap too well. Of course, you can always have injuries. Look at Buffalo. They got, it looks like they dodged a bullet, but you know, earlier this week, there were scenarios where Josh Allen might be out for the year and they did everything right 5 years before we did to get to this point. The Jets could literally win every game the rest of the year, brother, which they won't, but they could and could lose in the first round of the playoffs. And I'd still be ecstatic because the foundation of what they have is too strong. So not this year. I think years like that, where you get disappointed when the team overperforms, is when you know you can't go back the following year. You have six free agents that are your best players. The Jets' seven best players are in their first 2 years of their life. It's crazy what the Jets have right now. This is it. Finally got there, you know?
Yeah, no, great season. Thank you.
Hey, how we doing, everybody? Just wanted to ask, this is a follow-up from a question that was like a little bit earlier, but you talked about building self-awareness and like doing that as a practice over time. But at this stage of life, sort of in this kind of position where we all are, how would you recommend building that kind of awareness like right now in steps that we could take?
There's only two. This has always been a question I've always been scared of. And over the last 7 or 8 years, it's gotten a hair easier. There's two ways I think about self-awareness. One is incredibly personal, and the other one requires others. One, I actually think that almost everyone actually knows the truth about themselves, but have built up so much posturing that it becomes their subconscious and they can't even like tell the difference. So I talk a lot about with my friends and family and people I care about and groups like this, like just really go there in a dark room by yourself. You know, and like, just really go there and be like, no. Like Gary's right. I'm just going to do this because I think this is going to make me happier. And just like actually put pen to paper on the shit that you're full of shit about. And I really like even just watching you all like move right now on screen. All of you can probably come up with one thing that you say and act on that you know is not true. So that's big, John, right? That's big. The second one is kind of cool, which is like, how do you get 3 to 4 people that know you the best? Right? And you spend some time with them prepping them. Like you have a dinner, you hang out once, and you basically build them towards this day, a couple weeks out, where you ask them to really call it like it is from their perspective. What are you good at? What are you bad at? What do you do that fucks them up, but they've never been able to tell you because you love them, they love you? And you kind of make these 3 to 10 people feel really safe to really tell you. And you know that it's true. The thing that worked for me is I don't lie to myself. I don't want to trick myself. You know what I mean, John? Like, people posture, bro. Like, I just... And this goes back to loving yourself over others. I think the biggest reason people posture is because they value other people's opinions too much.
Yeah, facts.
You know what I mean, my man? Like, I'm just not really worried about if someone thinks I'm cool or good looking or smart or clever. Like, I'm just not there. Like, of course I'd like to be liked, but it's like, and I'm normally very liked by anybody that knows me. You know, I know that you guys and gals have people in your life that don't like me. That's because they watched one video once out of context and take a hot take. They don't really know me like that. And so, like, right, like it's just really being honest with yourself and putting the people that are closest to you into a framework of being honest with you And then you start working on it. Let me give you an insight at this young of an age that might really hit for some of you. Let me tell you why there's no value in posturing or faking the funk. It's because you can trick the 98% and the 2% is who you actually want. And the 2% are the ones that are turned off by your bullshit. You're just tricking people that are trickable. That.
Yeah, that's pretty much fixed.
Gary, my grandfather, he taught me you can't shit a shitter. That was his line. So it's you know what, totally that.
You know what? I couldn't have said it better to you. Like, yep. Because nobody has ever tricked me ever in my entire life. Nobody has tricked me ever. I know that there are other, what am I, one of one? Definitely not. And so I say to myself, then why would I do that and lose equity with the people that are most talented just to trick the ones that are trickable? Because when you're tricking trickable people, somebody else might trick them onto you. Mm.
That's what I was about to ask, like in terms of like, I think you got to it earlier, but like, the losses and gains that come from that, from tricking trickable people, but also not tricking, like not basically not bullshitting like a bullshitter.
It's just the same thing, right? Like for you guys, you're so close to this given your age. Like think about all the people you tried to be friends with in high school because they were cool or good looking. And then like now just 7 years, 5 years, 6 years removed from it. You're like, what the fuck? You have no interest in those people. It's just that keeps going on past yeah. high school.
Thank you.
Thank you. And also thank you, Gary, for all those very inspiring words. Definitely appreciate that. Makes me feel better. But my question is definitely a hot topic in like media right now, which is Twitter. And so I was part of like the Twitter Spaces talk yesterday. Yep. And so I felt like got to hear a lot about like Elon's like rationale where basically he's implementing this $8, you know, per verification a month, like to basically weed out all the bots and like deception. But I'm curious, do you think this is going to like be a good thing for Twitter or do you think it's going to be like the end of it?
I don't think it'll be the end of it until, I mean, look how big Facebook is and Instagram came along and Snap came along and TikTok came along. So I think people think in absolutes. The only thing that will end Twitter, quote unquote, AKA Twitter becomes MySpace, is if the leaders are not capable. My intuition is that Elon is more capable than the way they've been running it. And the only other thing that could hurt it is market share loss. And that would require somebody to build a better Twitter. Right? And so I don't know if this is going to work because I'm not in the business of predicting. I'm in the business of watching. I'll have a really big point of view on it in 60 days, in 150 days. I know that I can tell you that the problem with people's POVs on Twitter is Elon bleeds a little bit too much into politics for people. And so they have their hot takes on their political points of view, not on the rationale of what's happening. So, you know, for me, the global town square is why I invested in Twitter. Right there is my Twitter stock certificate. I invested in Twitter in 2006 because I was like, the world's going to want this.
Mm-hmm.
The world needs its place to talk about the latest episode of Love Island. The world needs its place to talk about what happened on Thursday Night Football. The world needs its place to talk about, you know, their favorite couple breaking up. It's a human need. Obviously, the political divide in our country has been overwhelming and has led to the anxiety. And people are really good at talking about all the bad things that social media has done without realizing all that social media is empty vessels that expose us. And so, you know, I don't believe one person on earth became a racist because of Facebook. I think Facebook exposed that they were a racist. And so, I don't know. I think social media has exposed me to be a better person than people thought, because I am a better person. So I think this is a game of exposing, not a game of changing. And so until we realize we have a lot of work to do on the parenting front and on the education front, and humans are audacious, we need way more humility. Way more humility. I love watching all of you come into Vayner and thinking you actually know something about social media because you've been using it for your teenage years. That has nothing, using social media to hook up or watch some shit that you like has nothing to do with using it to sell shit.
Definitely. I felt that since joining this company. But yeah. Thank you, Gary.
You got it, brother.
All right. Got a couple minutes left. Try to squeeze them in.
Hi, Gary. Thank you for coming to speak with us today. And I appreciate the time. My name is Caitlin. I'm on Express as a media resident. And my question kind of ties in with what you're just talking about, and then back with like toxic work cultures that have like appear in a lot of big companies, but not here, thankfully, or like at least it like tries to avoid that. And so, because as y'all were just talking about social media, I personally am just coming out of college. Like we use social media in a very different way, and coming into the workforce, you kind of have to realize, and we always should have been monitoring our own media. Because it's great that it has like been super transparent, but sometimes I've been like scared by what my parents say, like what you put on social media, even college or whatever, will then like you, somebody will be like, ooh, take it against you. And like if like other work cultures could be so toxic that they'll somehow find a way that they lose your job or just take something in a bad way. And I just kind of wonder how to go about that, because I want to friend my coworkers.
You want me to give you a real insight on this?
Yes, please.
Caitlin, any company that is going to fire you because there's a beer pong photo of you, or because you and your friends wore bikinis on spring break, is not a fucking company you want to work at.
True.
So there's that. You tell mom and dad you don't want to work in those shitholes anyway. And comma, I've got something even better for all of you. Now that you have VaynerMedia on your resume, that completely trumps where the fuck you went to college and whatever the fuck you did on social.
Awesome. Well, I thank you. I love that mindset, and I hope to find more companies take this mindset with them in the future.
They will, because as we continue to crush all of them and get bigger, they're going to have to copy us.
Exactly. Thank you, Gary.
All right, crew. Love you. This was fun.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank
really
you.
Appreciate it.
Take Thanks, care, Gary.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Gary.
Love you guys.